in the name of Jesus. By the time we come to Romans 14, we are already into phase 3. The law has first done its job of demolishing any attempt of ours to sustain our righteousness before God. Then Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Then the gospel just keeps flooding along and up to heaven with the surging doxology at the end of chapter 11, which we almost got in on a moment ago, with the gradual utterly toward the Lord. That surely does give the Lord his due. We've done him proud, you might say. Now, what about us? Here we are, already in the second week of the fall quarter at Concordia Seminary, and what we really need is something to help us to cope, get through, or at least around the problem. People get in our way, and worst of all, those who are supposed to help us get by. Along comes Romans 14. Some people are going on about what to eat and what not to eat and what days you had best be observing. They're putting one another down, defensively and aggressively, and therewithal a smokescreen of pious phrases. Now, that's not the way to get along. He's got his thing, you've got yours, let's just be accepting of the differences. Tolerance is what we need if we're going to get along. You give a bit, I'll give a bit. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. Romans chapter 14 prods us then to get along. Play nice. But hang on a moment, we've only heard first step in Romans 14, facing up to the problems from where we are sitting. Some pastoral care is underway here. You can only hear Romans 14 in the foregoing way if you cut it off from all that has led up to it. And that is what is actually still going on in the text. There's no disconnecting the text from the Lord. There is steady progression. Step one, facing up to the problems between persons and even parties. Step two, the one you have not been being nice to whom the Lord has been being nice to. So you get more like the Lord and be nice like he is. That is another way of stopping listening to the text. I really must try harder to be more loving just like Jesus. Actually, one Jesus is enough. The text pulls us along. You can never be sure of anything if you are just playing games. What is there that holds for sure? Pastor Paul draws them into that with, you'd best be sure of what you are sure about. He doesn't do it for them. He runs the gospel indicative for each one, connecting each one to the Lord. He who observes the day observes to the Lord. He who eats, eats to the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. He who abstains, abstains to the Lord, gives thanks to God. To kyrio, dative. The Lord is the person we are involved with him, to him, for him, by him. Oh, happy dative. But where then are we? And have we then also lost not only ourselves but our neighbour in being so happy toward the Lord? Our neighbour is still there, but not isolated in full view. He is standing just behind the Lord. The Lord gets in your line of vision, and so you just can't deal directly with your neighbour. To do that, you have to shove the Lord aside. We don't so much see the Lord standing in front of our neighbour as hearing him there. He puts his words on him, one for whom Christ died. What you do to me, goes for him too, and what you do to him goes for me. You may recall how Pastor Paul did similarly with the church in Corinth. They were not being very nice to each other. At the potluck, there were some who had more than enough to eat and to drink, while some at the back went hungry. Is that what you come together in church for? The apostle doesn't just say, come on now, be nice. He lays to them the words of the Lord, who gives into them his body to eat and his blood to drink, with which he bodies and bloods them together, one body with him and so with one another. When you treat one another as those into whom the Lord has given his body and his blood, then there won't be so much problem with sharing your sandwiches. The apostle has been with them on the ground all the way through. There are no floating Christians. That you can't hide behind your patent religiosities is the apostle's final warning. You may fool yourself and some others for a while, but where does that road end up? He is drawing them to repentance, away from trying to defend themselves against God's judgment. Our text today also warns of the alternative to repentance, to repenting of the insistence on my judgment and not the Lord's. That would then be your final account of yourself alone, having lost Christ and so your neighbor. That is to live and to die to yourself. The solipsism of hell. The Lord has two judgments. Those who have no defense against God's law's judgment receive his judgment of enlivening forgiveness, and that covers everything included in life and death. If we live, we live to the Lord, to Kyrio, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. That includes you, us together, here, now, next period, second week, in the fall quarter, and always. Amen.